Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is entitled The Missing Factor That Separates Millionaires from Failures. And we are talking about this because more than anything, how you plan your future is depending on the decisions that you make currently and how you can change what it is that you choose to do. If you don't know what you want, you end up with a lot that you don't. So remember that. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I know because I saw the alarm clock as I reached for the pad and pen. I had been spending a few hours a day for the past week analyzing all the surveys my business clients had sent me over the past 6 years, trying to find the distinction between the monster successes my company has spawned and the failures we failed to prevent over the years. The activity in itself isn't that unusual. I do research like this from time to time. It helps me uncover topics to write about, products to create, and new marketing approaches that will resonate. There were, however, two unusual characteristics. First, me waking up at this ungodly hour. Second, and much more important, it is an idea for so powerful it shifts me awake. Even better, it's easy to execute and will stimulate more business success than any other information I could deliver. I couldn't stop myself. I spent the next few weeks in intense writing sessions to articulate this easy-to-execute idea for my clients. This intense writing produced my most popular client-only report of all time. It's the same idea I want to share with you today. I started this writing process by poring over the files from past clients, both successes and failures. From these files, I compiled a list of red flags indicating that the failed client's process, a flawed thinking process. Then on the flip side, I created a list of my most successful clients and what factors helped them achieve that success. I quickly discovered my most successful clients, and I shared a way of thinking, a similar perspective, a philosophy about what really causes success in life and business. Their thinking literally determined their level of success in everything. Why this is more important than ever. Here's the good news. The successful way of thinking is not something you're born with. It's something that you develop. If you do have a flawed way of thinking that's holding you back, you can fix it. And I'll tell you how in just a second. This is the idea that shook me awake at 3 a.m. The fastest, easiest, and biggest leap an underperforming business or entrepreneur could make to improve their results and grow their profits is to change their thinking, or in short, think better. And in 2012, if you can learn how to improve your thinking, you will definitely have a competitive advantage. It's more important than ever to be a good strategic thinker, and that's also more difficult. We're living in the information age where you're inundated with information. As an entrepreneur, you must be able to sift through the information, find what's important, and then maximize that information value better than your competitors. All that takes is strategic business thinking. How to think your way to a better business. Most entrepreneurs don't realize there is a process of successful business thinking. Just like there's a process of thinking like a medical doctor engineer, or lawyer. That's why they don't realize that every stumbling block in their business is a lesson. Learning that lesson challenges you to think differently, but it's more than just painful trial and error. There are shortcuts to better thinking that you can use. Once you hear these shortcuts, you'll not only see more clearly, think more creatively, and plan more effectively, you'll also never make most of the mistakes that plague entrepreneurs' lives when they succumb to faulty thinking. Here are a few of the shortcuts I give my clients. First, I highly recommend a journal. I've been keeping a journal to record my business success and failures for over 25 years now. It's how I think through everything and challenge myself to a better thinker. What to write in your journal? I'm a visual person, so I use diagrams and mind mapping to think through the new project. I also use my journal to grade my performance on how I did during the week, outline and define goals, and stay the course when I feel like I'm in a rut. Questions to get started. For all new clients, I always challenge them to answer the following questions in their journals. I ask, what exactly do you want from your business? What's the absolute minimum necessary to have it? What's the fastest and easiest way to get it? The last three questions sound deceptively simple, but they're incredibly important. Trust me, when I say knowing the answer to these questions will help you reach success faster than any course or program you can buy, because if you knew exactly what you wanted and the specific steps that would get you there, wouldn't you agree that you would have what you wanted by now? As I tell my clients, you must focus on the what before you can focus on the how-to. You must be clear on exactly what you want so you can map out the steps to get you there. So take a moment right now and start writing down your goals for your business or your life in general. Then start outlining what it would take to achieve these goals and the quickest way to make these goals a reality. Take your time and give your answer some thought. Remember, thinking can be your strategy, competitive advantage. Don't waste it. And the importance of all of this is understanding that to be successful, you have to think like someone who's successful. The problem is, for many people, they don't take the time to plan their future. And this is important to understand because the job market has totally changed today. There is no such thing as gainful employment today. There's no guarantee that you will get a job anywhere. And unemployment today has truly become something of a challenge for a lot of people because they're used to holding a job, working for someone else, and letting them plan their future. So think about it. Today, you don't have those guaranteed jobs with those companies the way you used to. So what are you going to do and think about? And here's something that I came across today. And this is why this is something we need to think about. And it says, U.S. economy adds 80,000 jobs in another weak month. The American job machine has jammed again. The economy added only 80,000 jobs. The government said Friday, erasing any doubt that the United States is in a summer slump for the third year in a row. Let's just agree. The number sticks, said Dan Greenhouse, chief global strategist at the investment firm BCG. It was the third consecutive month of weak job growth from April through June. The economy produced an average of just 75,000 jobs a month, the weakest 3 months since August through October 2010. The unemployment rate stayed at 8.2%, a recession-level figure, even though the Great Recession has technically been over for 3 years. The numbers could hurt President Barack Obama's odds for re-election. Mitt Romney, the presumed Republican nominee, said they show that Obama in 3.5 years on the job has not gotten America working again, and the president is going to have to stand up and take responsibility for it, Romney said in Wolfsboro, New Hampshire. This kick in the gut has got to end. Obama, on a 2-day bus tour through the contested states of Ohio and Pennsylvania, focused on private companies, which added 84,000 jobs in June, and took a longer view of the economic recovery. Now, the reason I am talking about this is because for so many of us, we look at other people to create jobs for us instead of becoming creative and thinking outside the box. And I have talked to many people who can tell me exactly what they have a passion for and what they would truly do with themselves if they could afford to. But the problem is that for so many people, they don't have the savings, they don't have the ability to put aside money and plan for the future. And the thing is, if you look at where we are today and where we look at the beginning of the 20th century, and which was about the time of the influx of a lot of Europeans, and when the fact of the matter was, these people were small businessmen. They brought with them the skills from their homeland. Many of them, they would take their wares and they would go to home to sell them. When they came to the United States, they took the wares, they put them on push carts, and they sold them on street corners. And it was what happened was you earn your money within the community that you live. The problem is that so many of us, our mindset is such that we're thinking about employment in the same way that we thought about it 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the fact of the matter is technology, the internet, e-commerce, this has created a new market. We've gone back to the small entrepreneur. The only difference is we are a global marketplace today. With the access of the internet, you can reach people in other parts of the world who need your services, who need your products, whatever. So that what it does is it helps to open up the market, because guess what? Third world countries, those people are willing to work for what people in the United States worked for 30, 40 years ago. And because it allows them to increase their opportunities and their standard of living. And yes, that has taken away jobs from the United States, but there are alternatives. Because everyone is unique. Everyone has a skill that makes them outshine someone else. And there's no reason why you, too, can't find gainful employment. The idea is to remember, companies would rather outsource because it helps them keep their expenses down. Because you know what? If you have to pay for, if you are the owner and you paid for someone's insurance, their salary, the light, the utilities, the phone service, whatever, you know, is necessary, the rent on the building, then you use up whatever resources you have. When you outsource, you would be willing to pay someone more money per hour. And if that individual, instead of working for one company, contracted with three or four companies and did the same work for each company and excelled at it and made more per hour, then guess what? You increased your Multi-level marketing or relationship marketing is another avenue for employment today. Affiliate marketing is an opportunity for employment today. Why is this important? Because guess what? There are a lot of people who are coaches or trainers who use the internet to sell their products through their websites or their storefront. They're always looking for salespeople to help them market their product. And guess what? You can earn a commission while you are generating an income helping these people make sales with their company. You could plan and decide where it is that you truly want to be. And while you're earning that income, you can strategize and put together a plan for the future of where you want to be. And why we're talking about this is because, guess what? If you can put together a plan, if you can understand what is your natural behavioral stuff, where is it that you excel and how you can put that out into the world. You know, I remember talking to some people and asking them, if you could do anything you wanted to do, what would it be? They all had an answer, but none of them knew how to strategize putting a plan together and then in putting that plan together, helping them plan for the future. So think about it. All of these are things that you can do that can help you grow as an individual. So think about it. What is it that you can do that can help you? What is the critical missing factor in your life or in your business? And what you need to do is think about how you can put a better business plan together. And we were talking about journaling. And, you know, have you ever sat down and written out a journal and written in it daily and written down what were some of the things that you wanted to do and what it would take you to get there? What if you went back and looked at those things? People will always ask you, where do you want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? You know, it may seem like such a drastic, you know, to look at the bigger picture, but why do we break it down into what would it take, what is it that you want to do in the next month? What will it take for you to get there? What are the things that you need to do now that will guarantee you that you will be where you want to be in the future? So think about these things. Think about how you can plan out your future and think how you can help yourself grow. You know, everything is a strategy, and every plan for success is a step-by-step method of how you are going to get the things that you truly want in life. And, you know, and let me go back and give you a story. I haven't done this in a while, but this is, I remember, and I'm hearing all the stories, and I can tell you a story about how the job market has changed over the years. When you look back, and I remember telling the story to someone, and he said to me, you know, you just described every generation in my family. Because as I mentioned earlier, when the Europeans first came to this country, they would take their wares and put them on push carts and sell their wares. And some of these small businesses grew into large corporations. And what happened was the generation that came over to this country in the early part of the 20th century, their children, the first born in this country, many of them went to work for, well, initially they went employed in World War II and into the military. Then when they got out, the military, part of their guarantee was they were going to help the individual get an education. This was also during the period of the growth of the corporation. So many people who went to work for the corporation worked their way up in the company until they got into management, upper management, middle management. After they were there 25 years, they got a retirement party and a gold watch, and you had Social Security, upon which many were expected to live comfortably. Their children were known as the baby boomer generation, and this generation, they expected to follow their parents into the corporate world, work their way up in the corporate world, and continue the path of their families. But what happened was, this was also an era when corporations started to merge. So they had overlapping jobs of people. So they had to cut that. And what happened was, many of these people that were pink slip, what they did was they were able to continue to get their health care plan. They had a period of time of money that would be coming to them. Many of them looked at self-employment. They looked at network marketing. Some worked, some didn't work. Also, what they found was this was the period of the Y2K going into the year of 2000, when there was a fear that with the change of the century, the software and the computers would crash. So that and it was also the beginning of the dot-com era. The problem was a lot of these companies were propped up by false income, false recording of income. So that what happened was right after the Y2K era and the turnover into the new century, you started seeing a lot of issues come up with employment, with the economy, and seeing a deep recession and a crash. Now, the thing is, you've got the millennial generation, the generation that was born in the 80s, which was when Bill Gates and Steve Jobs started formulating their plan on creating and building the hardware and the software. And what's happening is the millennial generation, they understand how to use computers to create jobs and opportunities for themselves. And what's happened is the baby boomer generation, Generation X, Generation Y, they are the ones that are having the struggle of trying to figure out where they fit in into the job market. For many of them, some of them, especially those that were in middle management and upper management, they started taking classes by seminar leaders on how to, because they wanted to have the same income and they didn't have the savings to go back and refigure out where their talents was, that they would go and take classes by Robert Allen and all these people who would tell them, now, if they got into the real estate market and they could buy property for no money down and they would have in place certain financing plans that would allow them, and then they could take the home and flip it and sell it before it all came due, then they could buy property for no money down. What this ended up doing was creating an influx or inflation in the real estate market that certain people made money, but then it outpriced the job market. And also another thing that I didn't mention, which is why a lot of what was going on was during the 20s and the 30s, you had companies had unions because they protected the worker. But what happens is you eventually get up to where you've reached the ceiling of what a job is worth. So when you do that and you keep expecting more and more money, then you're creating a situation where companies are going to look for opportunities to outsource it so that they can keep their margin of profit, because if the employer or the employee wants to keep making more money to keep up with the cost of living, and then they get increases, then the corporations turn around and put and increase the sale, the cost of the product to the consumer, then you're just creating more and more inflation. And then what happens is that when people lose jobs, they can't pay taxes. So there's got to be an opportunity or a way to create and build opportunity for yourself, but you need to become creative. You need to think outside the box. You need, and there is no reason why you, too, can't become a millionaire. Also, remember, being a millionaire is also a mindset. And you may have less money in the bank than someone else, but in your mind, you can be a millionaire. And, you know, the thing and what people are forgetting, and we're seeing this also in the entertainment field now with what's happening with the soap opera, because the cost of the soap opera kept going up because the actors get a minimum of $1,500 a day if they're just day workers and have no contract. But the contract workers can easily make $4,000 to $5,000 every day of the week that they work. So the cost of making a soap opera day has soared to $50 million in or more. And if you go on the board, you'll see people complaining because the storylines are overlapping and getting and they're boring. And what happens is that but the thing is, for the actors, when they bring in people from other shows and they combine, it's a new dynamic for them than what they've been playing off. So it gets exciting. But that doesn't mean that for the person who's watching it, that it's as exciting for them. And many a times the actors themselves, if they don't like the way a storyline is written, they can't do anything about it. They have to accept it as is. So what's happened is that you're seeing, and in fact, in the what used to be 12 soap operas are now down to 4, and you're seeing more reality and programming and more talk shows come in, and because of all the cuts and the lower expenses, you're seeing people go more and more to this type of programming. Also, because what's happened is that there's more channels to watch, there's more competition of TV shows than there used to be, so that the soap operas are not getting the followers or the ratings that they used to get. And then what happens is the networks are not making the money off of advertising, so that the cost and what they're making off is not, it's causing a loss. So when you consider all of these things and you look at what's going on, you can really understand why everything is changing. And we need to look at how we can change with it. And I would like to invite you to come back next week and also let you know that you can go to my website. And that website is the number1personalcareercoach.com. And you can, if you are looking to find gainful employment, or you're looking for a way to become creative and create your